You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the weekly golf podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us. Ahead of what's a big week in the world of golf with the Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship and the Career Builder Challenge on the PGA Tour. And it's Dave Callender here alongside Mr. Dave Tindall to talk you through the action. Good afternoon.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave.
How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Looking forward to this week. It feels like it's starting, doesn't it, now, the European Tour?
Yeah, it's building up, isn't it? Because I'm fed up of those South African events. We had a couple of shot winners, actually, last week with Hayden Porteous, who had missed a couple of cuts on the European Tour successively, breaking his European Tour duck, winning the Joburg Open by two shots from Xander Lombard. And that win came hot on the heels of Brandon Stone's success in South Africa. Both those players have quite similar profiles, young up-and-coming South Africans.
Yeah, they could be two names who might constitute the next wave of Springbok stars.
Absolutely. And Porteous, in fairness, Dave, couldn't have been more impressive as well on the Sunday. Hit every green in regulation.
Yeah, that's some going there.
And, yeah, birdied the 8th, 14th and 18th to win. So you couldn't ask for a better Sunday performance than that.
No, it was just very decisive. I mean, you'd expect him in that situation to wobble, knowing that, you know, this comes with 2-year exemptions, etc., etc., first big chance to win, and he bogey free, hits every green, perfect.
And on the PGA Tour, Fabian Gomez outlasted Brant Snedeker to win the Sony Open, shot a final round 62 to get into the playoff, and used a hybrid in the playoff on the last hole to put his ball in play on that par 5. I think he'd missed the fairway four times successively before the playoff. Found the green in two, made the birdie to win. So Fabian Gomez, a winner once again on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's a surprise result. Do you ever have that kind of the little sort of devil in you thinks, I've not backed Snedeker this week, so I want him to lose, even if you know good friends are on him, you think, well, you know.
I was thinking that all week because he was very close on my list. If you remember back to last week's podcast, he was the one at the top of the betting that I thought he's going to go well.
Yeah.
I know he missed two successive cuts at Wailea, but
you said, didn't you, that once he's in form, he stays in form.
That's his modus operandi in his career, and I was hoping that, I wasn't awake, thankfully, I was hoping that he was going to get beaten.
I was just thinking, oh, I've missed one here, that kind of feeling. So when he lost the playoff, I was like, yes. I feel half as bad as I do now, because I wouldn't have picked Gomez in a million. Well, he was a long
You'd
way down.
You'd have needed a few goes.
He could have backed him on the fact that he's won, you know, recently, couldn't he?
And played at Kapalua.
Yeah, he could have, but he didn't really get on my radar, to be honest.
Shall we get stuck into this week? Good week coming up.
Yep.
The Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship is the European Tour event, and this is when the European Tour really gets going. Trip into the desert for the start of the swing. And this tournament has attracted a star-studded field with both Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth in action, and both of them at the top of the betting as well. 4-1 joint favourites, McIlroy and Spieth here with William Hill. Ricky Fowler is 14-1, Henrik Stenson 16s, Martin Kaymer 18-1, Brandon Grace is 20s, Matthew Fitzpatrick 25-1, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. First of all, Dave, last year was incredible at this event. One of the weirdest Sundays ever on the European Tour, and that's saying something because Sundays on the European Tour can get strange. But Martin Kaymer blowing a 10-shot lead on Sunday.
Just saying those words sounds weird.
He's generally considered one of the most reliable closers in the game, or had been. For him to blow a 10-shot lead was inexplicable. It almost defied belief at the time.
Yeah.
Because I remember focusing on this event and thinking on Sunday, well, this is done. And you just couldn't believe a player of Kaymer's stature, who has been so clinical in the past,
Resorting to German cliches. But I know exactly what
it's
you mean.
It's not even a cliche with him, though, because he does it, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or he had done it in the past.
Even if it had been 5 and 6, but 10, I mean, double figures. It was a 13 holes to play, I think. It's just, yeah, arguably the strangest moment in golf in years, that is.
I think so. And in addition to that, he was chasing his fourth title in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
So we know that he loves the golf course.
Yeah,
and
ever a place he'd feel relaxed and could just see it home. You know.
And it was Gary Stahl putting the pressure on.
It's not like Faldo staring Greg Norman in the eyes, is it? When Norman hasn't won Augusta and has been trying his whole life to do so. It's just kind of trotting up. I don't know. It's like a sort of, like a horse is miles clear and starts looking around. I don't know what happened. It's just very odd.
Bolting for the stables.
Yeah.
Early. As for the course itself, typical desert track, Abu Dhabi Golf Club, long par 72, measuring 7,600 yards. And although driving distance maybe not a necessity, Stahl was well down the rankings last year. And in Rathabal's win the year before, he was outside the top 15 in driving distance. But you can't describe Pablo Larrazabal as being short off the tee. I think power here is definitely a positive.
Yeah, I think so. I think let's come on to him now. Rory McIlroy. I mean, what's he got? 5 second places here?
4 in the last 5 years?
Yeah. One of those, he took one shot less than the winner, but he got done for a 2-stroke penalty earlier in the tournament. So it adds to the belief that he's never going to win here, but I think that will change. So I think Rory, it's a power course, isn't it? And you can see the fact that he's up there every time, it shows that it's one of the courses that he really does suit him.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's slightly odd that he's not got a win, but the fact that he's up there every time. Which has implications this week, I think, because he will finish in the top 5. You can almost guarantee that, can't you? I think Spieth, you can guarantee he'll finish in the top 5. And then, hey-ho, lack of spaces left, isn't there? And Kaima, who I'll come on to, I think he's got every chance of being up there as well. And then what's left, even though you look at some price, there's some decent prices, but how many slots are there?
We have had shocks here, haven't we, though?
We have.
Each of the last 4 years, to a certain extent. What do you look for in this event specifically? I tend to look at desert form because I think it correlates very well. You look at players that have performed well on the desert swing.
Yeah.
They've done it in Qatar, they've done it in Dubai, they've done it in Abu Dhabi. That's what I kind of look for in this event. I think hitting greens in regulation is important as well. But I think you've got to be in complete command of your overall game here.
Yeah, if you look at the all-round stats of the winners, a lot of them were first that week in the all-around stats. A lot of good putting performances were rewarded with wins as well, which obviously feeds into Jordan Spieth, doesn't it?
Mm.
And so I think, yeah, power course suits Rory. The fact that it's very immaculate, perfect green suits Spieth, so I cannot see them two not playing a huge part.
I've got one pick in the event.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'll let you lead off then.
Yeah, totally unbelievably unoriginal, but Martin Kaymer.
Are you going with him?
Yeah. Obviously, the fact that Spieth and McIlroy are there takes a big chunk out of the market, and that's why he's 18-1. But in theory, well, he's gone off 10-1 in this tournament. Obviously, you know, those two mean he's 18s. But I think that 18s is fine. I just think he's got that incredible record here. If anyone can ignore what happened to him, it's Kaymer. I think he came out the very next week, didn't he, and finished something like 6th?
Yes.
So he quickly put it past him. I'm resorting to German cliches now, but Bernard Langer, didn't he, the week after he missed that Ryder Cup putt, he went and won the next week. Very, very sound in the head, Martin Kaymer. He'll no doubt be reminded of that, but all he'll be thinking is, well, yeah, but I've won here 3 times. I was 2nd there.
It could even spur him on, couldn't it?
Oh, it could spur him on. But I just think
I'm not convinced that it's going to have a detrimental effect this week.
No, I'm not at all, no. I think it's an angle for the press, I think, and for people to talk about. But I think for him, he'll just think, well, I was the best player by a mile for most of that tournament, you know, for the 4th time. He's won it by 8 before. I think the only doubt you could have maybe is he didn't win last year. But I thought he ended the year okay. Finished 7th in the Thailand Golf Championship. Was top 10 in the DP World Tour Championship. Obviously also in the United Arab Emirates, which showed his prowess and proficiency for desert golf. And I just don't see why he's not going to finish top five again. So 18-1 is a more than acceptable each way price.
I must admit, I'm looking towards the top of the betting as well. I'm going with Brandon Grace here at 20-1. I've talked about him on numerous podcasts and how I wanted to follow him following his good performances in the major championships last year and that incredible performance in the President's Cup as well. I think he's keen to show his best when the best players are in attendance, and that's this week. Putting some stellar performances in the desert in the past as well. One in Qatar, and that was during the Desert Swing last year. Record here isn't brilliant, but did finish fifth here in 2013. Closed out last year with that third in the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. And you look at his record now, he barely ever has a bad week, Brandon Grace, in the last 12 months anyway. Tied for fourth in South Africa. He's that will have just blown the cobwebs away, I think, in my opinion, for Brandon Grace. I expect him to be absolutely spot on here. Major incentive for him to perform well with Spieth, McIlroy, Fowler, Stenson and Kiemer in this field. I can see him going close, and I like him each way at 20-1.
I think that's fine, but I actually prefer him for the Qatar Masters.
Do you? For next week?
It's often been said South African players, it's more grainier, the grass in the Qatar Masters, and it suits them a lot more.
Right, okay.
So I think South Africans will play better on that course, typically. So it'll probably be a short, depending what the field is, but
I think he will be must be a lot shorter. Yeah. Depending how this week goes.
But I see him this week finishing sort of sixth or
fifth. Will do.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but kind of top 10-ish. He'll be up there, I think. But might be. Whereas next week, I can just see him completely winning that tournament next week.
Yeah.
But
so that's a pointer for next week's podcast.
Yeah, I think
then.
It's a pointer for next week's podcast, unless it's a terrible price, of course. But I think. Yeah, 20-1 this week is fine.
It's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think. We've been through a lot of the top end of the market. You talked about Spieth and McIlroy.
Have we talked about Spieth enough? Are we happy?
Which one do you prefer?
Out of the two. It's close, isn't it? Very, very close.
I think I prefer McIlroy this week.
Just about, given the fact...
He's been practicing there. He's got that great record in the event. I know he's not won it before. But Spieth is... He defies belief sometimes, doesn't he? And I'm sure he can go and compete on this golf course, having seen it for the first time. But this place suits McIlroy down to the ground. And I think, if anything, he's going to be spurred on by having Spieth in the field.
Yeah, I think so. If I'd priced that one up, I think I'd have had him maybe half a point favourite over Spieth. Like you say, put them on certain courses around the world and you're not quite sure, but... I think the thing with Rory, most people agree, don't they? I think that Rory's best is better than anyone's best. And I think on this course, there's every chance he will be at his best. The only thing, are they going to be, do we know
they
the
are.
Parent? They
the,
are paired,
the, yeah. The grouping is McIlroy, Fowler and Spieth for the first two rounds, which,
pretty good, isn't
as
it?
Someone said on Twitter, I can't remember who it was someone from the Golf Channel, if you dealt those cards, you go all in and put them together.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be. And I quite like it as well. I think that is a marquee grouping. I'd rather McIlroy not be paired with Spieth if I was backing him, in all honesty, because if Spieth gets it going with the putter and McIlroy's slightly cold...
A bit disheartening that McIlroy plays these kind of booming shots and towering irons into the greens, and then Spieth sort of scraps it around and then sort of holds a 30-footer to birdie and he pars with a three-putter.
It happens. Yeah. It happens, doesn't it? And that could be crucial. If Spieth gets going and rolling puts in ahead of McIlroy in this grouping, and McIlroy gets a few behind, Spieth, I think Spieth is stronger mentally than Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
At this stage of his career, undoubtedly, in my opinion. And Spieth, if McIlroy gets going, I think Spieth will just keep grinding and grinding and grinding and hope to make putts on those immaculate greens, like you mentioned. He'll roll the birdie puts in. If he gets behind, I can see him coming back. If McIlroy gets behind, he could be thinking...
I think he'll sort of force it, and then, once the odd drive goes a bit wrong...
It could stack up against him. I think it's a better grouping for Spieth than McIlroy, personal opinion.
See that, yeah.
Any bigger prices that you that took your eye in this event?
Well, obviously, a lot of the European Tour guys played well, didn't they, in the Eurasia Cup last week. Poulter got maximum points. Westwood did as well. You know, is Westwood due a renaissance after...
Could be.
You know, poor...
I prefer Poulter out of those two.
Okay. Any reason why?
I believe Poulter is going to have a big season. I know he's been talking about having a big season. I don't think his game has...
Has he ever not talked about having a big season?
That is a very fair point. Poulter can talk, can't he? Just marginally prefer Poulter. No real strong affinity.
Yeah, well, I guess,
either way.
I guess Mark Adshead thinks the same. 40 Poulters, 50 Westwood. Yeah, there's a few. I thought Wiesberger, if he'd been a bigger price, could have got up there. He played really, really well on the Desert Swing last year.
Yeah.
George Kurtze, really, really good in this event. Came back to form last week after shaking some rust off following his injury the week before. You know, Benny Ahn as well.
I think he's got
a
big chance.
He could have a big week.
I know, he's only 28-1, which might look a little bit... on the skinny side, but he finished 12th here last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
First time looking at the course, and his form figures, he's not been out of the top 10 for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame, isn't it? Well, it's not a shame, but in terms of betting, I think it is going to get clogged up, that top five. Otherwise, you've got the likes of Thomas Peters, played, fourth last year, won twice. Andy Sullivan.
Course sets up nicely for Peters, doesn't it?
And Andy Sullivan played so well in the DP World Tour Championship, didn't he, against Rory, won three times last year.
Involved in the Eurasia Cup last week.
Yeah, which was great for him as well.
It's funny because I saw Darren Clark's comment saying that I want to take all of you with me, or at least most of you anyway. It was kind of like, he thought halfway through, you're not all getting in that team, but some of you might.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were good under Clark, and I wonder if that might be a pointer towards Hazeltine.
Yeah. It's a hard way to get someone placed each way, I think. But even though you look at it and there are a lot of contenders, it's just sort of getting on the right one, isn't it?
It is. Quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So a couple of picks from us here on the podcast. I'm going with Brandon Grace, a point each way at 20s. And same stake, a point each way, Keimer at 18-1.
Yeah, I think so. I think, yep. You know, the scope, isn't there, to play the top 5 and top 10 markets if you think Spieth and McIlroy are just unbeatable, but I think Keimer is a very, very proven winner, so I think he you know, it's not beyond him to beat off those two.
Okay, let's move on to the Career Builder Challenge on the PGA Tour. This is the event that was formerly known as the Bob Hope Classic, more recently known as the Humana Challenge, and now it's been rebranded as the Career Builder Challenge for this year's renewal. I think they've got a 6-year deal, so we won't change name for a while yet. And it's another event being played in the desert.
Yep.
And as is tradition with this event, it's played over 3 courses. The host course this year is the TPC Stadium course at PGA West, and is one that we know least about. Those that make the 54-hole cut will play this course twice, while the field will all get at least one crack at the stadium course, get around at the PGA West Nicklaus Tournament course, and at La Quinta Country Club. This is the 45th time that La Quinta has been used in the rotation, but the other two are relatively new courses. This host course, the TPC Stadium course at PGA West, there's a good quote on the, I don't know if you've seen it on the PGA Tour website, from the first look section.
Yes, I did. Like yes.
Which...
go on, that's a good quote.
Yeah, the columnist Jim Murray described it thus... you need a camel, a canoe, a priest, and a tourniquet to get through it. So that's why it was dropped in the mid-80s from the...
Some moaning, wasn't there?
There was some moaning, precisely. Basically, it was player power, wasn't it, basically?
Yeah. But they've held Q School there a number of times, haven't they? I think 2008 was the last time. 2006 as well.
Yeah.
But I don't
know. It was used for a skins game as well, wasn't it?
Are you getting too bothered about...
I'm not...
I once saw...
It feels a bit like a crapshoot, this tournament, to me, in all honesty.
I once saw Clement Freud, host, used to be a TV cook amongst many other things, and he was once showing you how to make something, and he just said, add some spices, pick whatever you want, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Slightly my opinion of all the courses here. They're not all the same, are they? But they're all par 72s in the desert, resort courses was...
They've all been easy up to now.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether this course might not play as easily as the other two, perhaps. I know it has
possibly.
Been... From everything I've read online, and that's what I'm going on this week, they have made sure that this course will be playable for the amateurs.
Yeah.
So I think they've scaled back a little bit.
Yeah,
closing stretch looks good, though. That looks like it could be exciting.
Yeah.
With the Island Green and the par 4 18s running along the waterside. Could make for a good finish.
But overall, I'd still be looking for players who just play this event well, because I think it's, as I say, it's in the desert.
Yeah.
This time of year, it's got some constants to it.
Two picks for me. I'm a gambler, so even though there's the vagaries about the different golf courses, I've taken a couple of picks against the field. But again, it's not a tournament that I'll be going crazy about.
Okay, you go first then, because I've just got one.
Phil Mickelson.
Oof.
That is taking a chance, isn't it, a little bit? He's 40-1 in this field, and by his own admission, the last 2 years have been a disappointment for Lefty. It's a risk taking him to bounce back this week, but he's been putting a lot of work during the off-season with his new coach, gone from Butch Harmon to a guy called Andrew Getson, who I've never heard of, in all honesty. You ever heard of him, Andrew Getson?
Not really, no.
And I think if he's to perform well this season, it's got to happen on the West Coast for him. His best form comes on the West Coast. He's got property in the area as well. Won this title twice, Mickelson, in his illustrious career. He's got 19 titles in all in California and Arizona, and I can't resist having a few quid on him at 40-1 this week. It needs to be remembered, even though his last win on tour came at Muirfield back in the Open Championship in 2013, last year he did finish tied second in the Masters and placed in the Wells Fargo and the FedEx St. Jude. It remains to be seen with Mickelson how he performs now he's changed coach from Harmon to Getson. But I still think there's a little bit of life in the old dog yet, and I'm going Mickelson because I like the price at 40-1 this week.
Yeah, and historically that's a massive price, isn't it?
That
Mickelson.
Yeah, you could just be thinking Mickelson at 40-1.
Yeah.
And I've not backed it and I've missed it, so I don't want to be in that boat.
I remember doing some research on him I think last year, looking at how he started every season, and then in the last 6 or 7 years maybe. I think the old bones take a while to get.
Yeah, just
the, like a joke about his caddy, but the old Mickelson bones take a while to get sort of uncreaking. He slightly blew that apart when he was second in Abu Dhabi on his first start a couple of years ago. But in America, even though you always think, oh, West Coast Phil Mickelson, I think he's been really sort of slow to get going. But then again, maybe depends where he comes out. Maybe this is an easier start for him than coming out at Torrey Pines.
He likes desert golf, doesn't he? Obviously.
Yeah.
Mickelson, and from what I've read, he's been doing more work than ever pre-season,
yeah,
just to get back to where he was. Mickelson,
he's certainly someone who can apply and quick fixes and suddenly turn things around. You think, oh, putting's not very good, and then suddenly, oh, found something, and he goes and wins again. He does can turn the corner.
He can
very
go crazy
quickly.
Low as well, can't he? Yeah. Which I like.
Yeah, I think I've made more money betting on Phil Mickelson down the years than any other golfer. So I used to have a rule: any price bigger than 16-1 outside a major. I mean, look at this now, 40-1.
40-1, yeah.
You just sort of wonder how much in decline he is, and whether he's just had a lull and he can come again. I don't know.
42 years old now, so that is a concern that this is.
Is he still
the
got
end
that
of
sort
Mickelson.
Of arthritis trouble?
He has had. I think he probably wants warm weather. Now,
yeah,
similar to Freddie Couples.
Mm.
But you can only take him at his word.
Certainly, this might be the biggest you get by a mile on the West Coast. If he comes second here, for example, then what's he going to be for Pebble Beach and everywhere like that? He'll be right up there, won't he? Again?
Yeah, so I'll take a chance at 40s.
Yeah, fair enough.
Who's your pick then?
It's very much similar to Keimer. I'm going with a tournament specialist in Bill Haas.
Yeah.
25-1.
If only Mike was here now.
Yeah, I'm channeling Mike. Mike would surely have picked him, wouldn't he? You think?
I think he might have gone for him this week.
Yeah, there is that slight reservation. It's a different rotation, but I just think Bill Haas plays really well here. He's won the tournament twice. He's come second another time. Was he third as well another time? He's just got a fantastic record at the place. He does a lot of kind of his practice work there as well in the off season. And not a lot to be said, really. He knows how to win. Bill Hayes, six-time winner. I don't think he quite gets as much as Mike always says. He seems to be, you could bracket him with someone who seems similar, but he actually goes and wins, doesn't he? Whereas others might flatter a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's
because he might be up there more.
I think it's because of major performances.
Yeah, that's where he does fall down. But obviously here he's absolutely in his comfort zone. Is the front of the market that strong, really?
Patrick Reed's pretty strong, isn't he? I know he's won here a couple of years ago, and he's on that amazing run of top 10 finishes in all tournaments, played pretty well at Kapalua to finish second. I know Spieth breezed to success in that tournament, but Reed was best of the rest. I don't want to play anyone under 10-1 in this event.
No, it's not in a put-in birdie fest. That's too much, you know. There's too many players who could just get hot for the week. And Cooch, I'd probably do all right. Zach Johnson might still be getting the new clubs bedded in a little bit.
Yeah.
Ryan Palmer.
Played last week.
Played okay, but he's someone who struggles to get over the line. Duffner.
He's coming back.
Is he ready yet?
Not for an event like this, in my opinion. He was 80-1 last week. Is this a
shootout good for him?
No, I don't think so.
Kevin Nair's won once in 304.
Does love playing in the desert, doesn't he?
Yeah. He does. I think he's a good place bet. I really do, Kevin Nair, but not to win. So, yeah, I think Bill Haas is just someone up there. You can guarantee a good run in. He's obviously the cream on top of the cake is the fact that he's won here twice as well. And he's just very good at defending titles as well. I had a look through his record, and he does play well in defence of titles. Mm. He's come runner-up in this one when defending, and Riviera, he won, went back there, was third the next year. So where some players don't find it all a bit much, isn't it? He goes back, he just enjoys the same comfort zone, maybe. Obviously, as well, he held that winning putt in the President's Cup when everyone was saying, oh, what are you doing? You know, that's a fix, isn't it? Your dad picking you. But I think that was the popular narrative,
but it wasn't. Yeah. If you dug into things, that he deserved to be on that team, didn't he?
Yeah, because he was the next player off, next cab off the rank, wasn't he? Yeah. I think maybe trying to get on the team automatically, I think, kind of hampered him a little bit last year because he was sort of so keen to not rely on a pick. I think he wobbled a little bit. But just on this tournament, I think he's the most reliable of you can get. In fact, as well, Dave, I'm going to extend that because I've gone for Haas and Keimer.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for the old cross-Atlantic
double. Are you really this week? Okay.
I do think certain tournaments are more... Course form counts for more, or you know, tournament form counts for more.
And this is one of those weeks.
It is in this one. In Abu Dhabi, well, Keimer has won it three times. Casey's won that twice. Rory's there every year.
Yeah.
The same names tend to crop up all the time. So I think it chance to roll a dice. What, 18-1 and 25-1 double?
18-1 and 25-1 double. Let's have a quick look at that. 493-1.
Yeah.
The double. So
pound to win £500.
It's okay, isn't it? My second pick in the Career Builder Challenge is Cameron Tringali. Is my second pick at 66-1, taking another shot with a Californian. I like Tringali's game for an event like this. I think he's at his best when scoring is low. Cameron Tringali, best performance last year came when he shot 21 under par, and that was to finish second in New Orleans. I think he'll need something like that sort of total this time around as well. Made the cut each and every time he's played this event, which is good. Played here five times in total in this event. And his start to the wraparound season has been pretty respectable as well. Finished in a tie for second at the Shriners, 14th in the CIMB Classic. Played decently alongside Camilo Villegas and the Franklin Templeton as well. Just think he's worth a shot at 66-1 in this field, looking for his maiden title on the tour. So I'll go Cameron Tringali as my second pick.
Yeah, I had one at a similar price. Where's he gone on there? Harold Varner.
Okay, 66-1.
Yes, I thought it was the same price. Yeah. Just look at it. He's just an informed player. Ended last year with a fifth in the OHL Classic. Then went to Australia to take part in the Aussie PGA, and he thought, oh, this could be a sort of fish out of water, and he came second. That was a really good performance for his sort of golfing education. Then he's come back this year, kicked off in last week's Sony Open, Shot four good rounds under par in the 60s, close 66, 65 on the weekend to take tied 13th. Mm. I just think he's a sort of a young player who's just freewheeling it at the minute. I just think he's hit some form. He's not overthinking it. Hits it miles, puts well.
Yeah, it's similar to Tony Finau, who I think could go well, 66-1 as well. Well,
Finau, he could be sort of the Finau was kind of all a rage, wasn't he, for a while at the start of next year? Last year. It's probably a bit harsh that he's dropped away in people's thinking, maybe a little bit. But I think I think Varner is that kind of. It just sort of looks comfortable, doesn't he? And just makes it seem quite easy. And it's got the Finau. In a similar vein, Johnny Vegas, who won this tournament, I think 2011, he was a Challenge Tour grad who came to this event and just thought, I'll give it a go. And he just looked like one of these players you think, oh, God, they've got a bright future ahead of it. It hasn't quite worked out, has it, for Johnny Vegas? Mm-hmm. He maybe realised it's harder than he thought, but this stage in his career, it wouldn't be surprising. I mean, we saw so many young players, haven't we, of late, come out and just nab a win before, you know, they not really serve their apprenticeships. Like down the years, you need to be in contention five times before you win. You don't, do you, these
days?
Not
nowadays. No. Yeah, I do like Varner. I like Finau, both at 66-1 as well. Let's wrap it up then, Mr. Tindall. Selections this week for these two events.
Yeah, so I'll go a point each way, Martin Kaymer, 18-1. A point each way.
You've forgotten who you're backing, aren't you?
Bill Haas, 25-1.
Yeah.
And whack them in that double
like
as well,
that 493 double.
To one, yeah.
I'm going a point each way, Brandon Grace at 20-1. And a point each way, Phil Mickelson, 40s. Point each way, Cameron Drangali at 66-1 as well. Who's the player you don't want to win this week? Who came closest then for you? Either event.
Yeah, well, if McIlroy or Spieth wins, it'll probably McIlroy, isn't it? McIlroy, if he wins, that will seem one of the most obvious things ever.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think Benny Arn probably on the in the Abu Dhabi event. And I wouldn't want to see either of the guys that I picked last week. Leishman played well at 40-1 last week, and he's 40-1 again this week. And I think he's going to have a big, big year, Leishman. And Russell Henley played deplorably, in all honesty, last week in an event that he's dominated in the past, so that was disappointing. He's 50-1 this week, so wouldn't like to see either of those guys pop up. And Jason Duffner, he is definitely on the way back. Duffner, I mean, he was very good from tee to green last week, Duffner, and he still missed a couple of really short putts. I think he missed two from inside, definitely missed one from inside 3 feet. I think he might have missed two from inside 3 feet.
Yeah.
Which you don't need to be doing in this event.
No.
You've got to be fully engaged with the putter still, in my opinion.
I think Matt Jones is maybe the one I wouldn't like to see win, because he obviously won the Aussie Open, was it Aussie PGA?
One of those events.
Yeah, but he beat Spieth and Adam Scott, so he's not played since, but surely the confidence he gained from beating those two.
Yeah.
Is massive, and it wouldn't be a surprise if he came out and played really well. Just to reiterate, that 4-9-3-1 double, that's an each way double.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
No, you're not going win only on that.
No, I've got to.
Thank you for your company, Mr. Tindall.
You're welcome.
At Dave Tindall Golf, if you want to follow Dave on Twitter, you can follow myself at D Kellner. Follow Mike as well. He'll be back for next week's podcast at M Grenham. And thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Golf Podcast. Get your bets on for the Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship and the Career Builder Challenge. And remember, you can download this podcast via iTunes. Just type in William Hill. Same applies at audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill to subscribe to all our podcast here with William Hill, and we'll be back next week. Thank you for your company, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.